Let's hear it for the Helton family. Thank you guys for doing that, taking time to share your testimony. Pretty awesome. And what I love about their testimony today is the wonderful story of hope and redemption. Isn't that great? That there's nothing that we can do that is outside of the love of God and the grace of God. And I believe that Heath challenged us well today, that if you today are finding yourself in need of Jesus, and especially since he talked to the men, let me re-echo this to the men. Do not think coming to Jesus makes you weak. We are already weak. We're already weak. But when we come to Jesus, he makes us strong in Jesus Christ. So, man, one more time for the Helton family. Wasn't that awesome? Thankful for them today. Man, may the Lord bless you guys and just for your testimony. Well, thank you for being here today. Take your sermon notes out. Open your Bible up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We have the scripture printed for you, and the scripture will be on the screen. We're in a series entitled, Are You Alive? And we're studying David Jeremiah's Signs of Life, and hopefully that reading's been good throughout the weeks and in our life groups, and the sermons are kind of connecting and going with that, they're kind of going together. And we're talking about what God is doing about signs of life, that if Jesus is in you, then you have a spiritual pulse. There are signs that prove that you are living spiritually. And we've talked a little bit about that Christ is in our lives. But last week, we talked about how that we will have forgiveness and grace and mercy and cooperation amongst our other brothers and sisters as well. And today we want to talk about another sign of life, and that is prayer and what prayer means to us. You know, the reality is that this campaign is all about getting healthy. And we cannot become a healthy church without prayer. It's not going to happen. Likewise, you cannot become a healthy Christian unless you have an active prayer life, unless you are currently involved in praying and talking to God. Now, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us a great reason why we need to pray. And he paints this picture. The context is that there is a cosmic battle going on between good and evil and rulers and authorities in heavenly places. And Paul would identify these angelic beings, these fallen angelic beings as spiritual enemies. And we maybe would call them demons, or we would call him Satan. And the Bible would say that there is an active battle between the forces of evil and us, that the enemy really wants to take out the children of God. The enemy hates the church. The enemy hates Christians. The enemy hates Jesus and hates the work of Christ. And Paul would paint the picture because there is an enemy in this world that we need to pray because the enemy is out to destroy the work of God in our lives and in our church. And if we don't pray and gird ourselves up, he talks about the armor of God earlier on in the chapter, but then he immediately connects the armor of God to prayer. If we don't pray, we will be in serious trouble against the enemy if we are not engaging in prayer. And by the way, whenever God is moving, count on it, Satan's going to move too. Did you know that? Whenever the Lord's doing something great, the enemy will attempt to counterattack that and will attempt to take something great of God and try to pour his unholy water all over the fire of God. You know, for me personally, I've experienced attack from the enemy. I was debating on when would be the right time to tell the church this, and I really feel through my studying and things like that I feel like this is the Sunday to share with you all something that I went through very personally. This beginning of summer was, this last summer was one of the toughest seasons that I've ever had in my entire life, this last summer. You know that we experienced a fire at our ministry center, and we had just got that thing redecorated and painted and all that stuff. And when we lost the ministry center, somebody will say, well, it was just a rented building. What was the big deal in that? Well, it was a big deal because it was part of the vision. It was part of going forward. It was a it was a big deal. It was a component that we were using for the Lord and for His glory. It was a tool that we were using for the Lord and His glory. And it was a direction that we felt God leading us to. And of course, as you know, a fire happened. This season of dealing with the fire became one of the most intense, dramatic encounters against the enemy that I personally have ever had. This last summer, I went through a season of depression and anxiety like I had never had in my entire life. It took me to a very low place in my life. And again, my family was okay. It wasn't a fire in my house. I mean, for the most part, even our books and things like that was cleaned and restored. But this summer was incredibly hard for me. Only a select few in this church knew what I was dealing with. And that was kind of those that I could really pray and talk to in confidentiality about what I was going through. But it was incredibly difficult. Putting together sermons throughout that series, throughout that season of my life, was incredibly hard. Trying to think and logically put together my thoughts when every day my thoughts weren't together. Every day my thoughts were erratic. And trying to get up and preach God's word and to present that in a way with structure and organization was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my entire life. And you know, you try to break, and then just the fire and the thoughts, it was awful. The depression was awful, the anxiety was awful, the nervousness was just awful this summer. But I believe that God did such a great work. Because now as we went through that fire, we're beginning to see God's purpose behind that fire. Amen. And the clarity and the healing that God brought to me personally was unbelievable. God used a great amount of things in my life this summer to help me in an amazing way. He used my wife. My wife stood by me, helped me, prayed for me. Times in my house when I broke down and was on the floor in the fetal position crying. Kenny, are you really telling people this? Yes. Do you know why? Because this is a safe place. Amen. This is a safe place. And this is a place of healing. Did you know that? And as long as I'm the pastor, I will always lead this church to be a place of healing and safety. Amen, church. My wife, God bless her heart. Y'all need to like fly her to Tahiti or something, you know, to bless her. Because take me with her, by the way. But I mean, there I was on the floor crying like a little baby. Really. With the nervousness and the anxiety and the depression that I had. God used my wife to help me through that season. God used others of you all. The mission trip to New York was such an amazing time for me, because God put me in the room with the bearded wonder Chris Simmons and Brad and these guys. I got to open up with them and share with them, didn't I, guys, my journey, Ernie, and I was very transparent with them. And Brad said, I can't believe a pastor goes through this. I said, believe it, I'm a human being. Some of y'all are thinking today, I can't believe a professional would share his wounds like that in front of people. Believe it, because I'm not here to make something of myself. I'm here to make something of Jesus Christ today. That's what I'm here for. And this summer, God used my wife. He used these men. He used a Christian counselor for me. Kenny went to Christian counseling? Better believe it. I spent all summer going to a Christian counselor in Campbellsville, Kentucky. Kenny, you're kidding me. You sought out professional help through your anxiety and depression. You ready? I did. Do you know why? Because I was determined not to let a fire sink me and my family. I was determined on that. So some of y'all have got the pride. And you say, man, I'm too much of a professional to ever go to a counselor, ever go talk to my pastor, because I got too much pride. You needs to get over it. You know why? Because we all crazy. We all crazy. And you read the Bible and it speaks of that, because the Bible tells us that we're all fallen people. Amen. But don't forget, when we are believers in Jesus, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We are just forgiven. Amen. God used a wonderful Christian counselor in Campbellsville, Kentucky by the name of Scott Wingett, that I love to give you his card. He's awesome. And the peace that God has used in my life. But can I tell you the main thing that got me through this summer? And you may think, Kenny, come on, it's too cliche. It's too stereotypical for you to say what you're getting ready to say, but I'm telling you the truth. Are you ready? God used prayer to pull me through this summer. God used the prayer ministry of this church. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. God used Jerry Burke, Tamara Burke, and Jerry Williams on Monday nights to pray for me and to pull me out of a dark place. God used our first Monday night prayer services to lift my spirits. God used the times when I was going through the Psalms and reading the Psalms and praying. I was so down, I didn't even know the right words to pray sometimes. So all I would do is I would open up the book of Psalms and I would just pray what David wrote. I'd just pray what David wrote. That's all I could do. I didn't even have words to pray. I couldn't even form words. And I just read the Psalms out loud because I couldn't even make myself pray. I just read what David wrote. But I believe wholeheartedly that God pulled me through. That God has done a great work in my life. See, the reason I tell you that today is because I believe in the power of prayer. You hear about it talking so cliche, talking so... I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I've reached a point in my life where if you ever ask me to pray for you, you better be ready for me to pray with you right then. I'm serious. Because if you ask me to pray for you and I don't pray for you right there on the spot, the odds are I'm going to go home, eat a bologna sandwich, and forget about it. Right? So if you ever have anybody say, can you pray for me? You know what you need to do? You need to stop whatever you're doing right then and there and have prayer with the person. That's what you need to do. Or you'll forget. You're a human being. You'll forget. Somebody says, man, just pray for me. I'm going through a hard time. Stop what you're doing and pray with the person. Pray with them right there because God hears prayers, answers prayers, and does a great work. We must be a church of prayer. We must be a church that is calling upon God in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, seeking the Lord, seeking the will of God for our church, for our families, for our marriages, for our careers. We need the Lord because the reality is Satan is roaming around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to destroy, kill, steal. He wants to do it all. And if we're not girded with the spiritual power of prayer, he'll get you. He'll rip you apart. I'm not saying he's going to take your salvation because it's like Beth said, once you're saved, he's in your heart if you genuinely are a believer in Jesus. But he's going to try to rip you up. And prayer is our defense. It's our protection against the forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And if we are not committed to prayer, we will be in serious trouble. So we need to ask ourselves a question today. How can my prayer life improve? How can my prayer life improve? Write that in the blanks. How can my prayer life improve? Because if we really are going to be alive today, we must be a people that know Jesus Christ, that know that he died and rose again, and that we must talk to Jesus every day. You know what a big difference between a dead guy and a living guy is? Dead guys don't talk to you. And you know what's a big difference between the spiritually dead and those that are alive spiritually? You ready? The spiritually dead don't talk to God. But those that are alive talk to God. Now, remember the context. The apostle has basically outlined in chapter 6 this spiritual warfare. He's outlined a spiritual warfare, and then he's tacking on prayer to the end of this armor of God section. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day, but he's basically saying that prayer is like combat. You know, no soldier today would ever go into the field without a pack, without his weapons, without his fatigues and things like that. He would have what he would need, and you could physically look at a soldier engaged in battle and you would know that this guy's ready for combat. Likewise, there are signs of a Christian that shows they're alive, and one of those signs is life. Maybe if it could translate out is that all Christians should have a little bit of some worn out jeans. Amen. That we've been on our knees wearing holes in our jeans. And the Apostle Paul, after talking about the spiritual warfare, he says this in verse 18. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. And stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, Paul says, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should. Paul the apostle, the great man of God that planted churches, that was the killer of Christians before he became a Christian, is now in a jail cell. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And what does he tell this church in Ephesus as he's chained up in jail? He tells them to pray. He teaches them how to pray, because the enemy is out to destroy the work of God at the church in Ephesus. Friends, the enemy is out to destroy the work of God at Life Community Church. The enemy is out to destroy your marriage. The enemy is out to destroy your children and grandchildren. He is out to destroy you. So you best learn how to pray. No soldier would ever go into combat without his weapon. Why are we trying to go and do great things for God and not being prayed up as a defense against the enemy? How can my prayer life improve? Let's look at three things that Paul would teach us. First, we need to pray different prayers for different seasons. Different prayers for different seasons. Now, Paul would say this. He would say, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. Some translations say with all prayers and requests at all times in the Spirit. Some of you all may have a translation that reads like that. Pray all prayers at all times. He teaches us how we're to pray, that it's just not mechanical mumbo-jumbo stuff, that we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. That when we pray, we have a connection with God, and the Spirit of God is helping us pray. Prayer is a supernatural work of God that we talk to the Lord about. But he says, with all prayers. Now, some of y'all are thinking, all prayers, different kinds of prayers, different kinds of seasons. Kenny, I don't get that. I didn't know there were different kinds of prayers. I just thought you just prayed. Well, guess what? You're about to learn something. You're about to learn something. The Bible teaches us that there are different types of prayers. For example, did you know there are prayers of supplication? Supplication. And there are prayers of intercession. And there are prayers of lament. There are prayers of thanksgiving. Supplication is when we are asking God to supply something for us. How many of you all ever had to pray a prayer of supplication? God, we need this. God, we need that. Help us. We're going to sink unless we get this. Anybody had to pray a prayer of supplication? There's a prayer of intercession where it's not for our needs but for the needs of others. God, I need you to heal my brother who has cancer. God, I need you to provide for that family who's hungry. God, I need you to help somebody. Then there's the prayer of thanksgiving. God, just thank you for the blessings you've given. God, thank you. You pray the prayer of supplication when you're in trouble. That's a season. You pray a prayer of intercession when somebody else is in trouble. That's a season. You pray a prayer of thanksgiving when you're blessed. That's a season. You pray a prayer of lament. God, I'm broken. I'm sad. And he just listens to you. Isn't that great? I prayed some prayers of lament this summer. See, the church, this church in itself has had very different seasons. I mean, our birthday services the last 4 years have been nothing but prayers of what? Thanksgiving. We have prayed and rejoiced. Every time when we baptize somebody, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving. When we had to leave Seven Hills School, we prayed prayers of supplication. We prayed prayers of intercession for people in this church that have been sick. and we stand on their behalf to pray for them. We've prayed all kinds of prayers in 4 short years. You know, it's interesting that right now at Life Community Church, we find ourselves in a different season of prayer. And we've not talked about it on Sunday morning, but we probably need to. You know, our brothers and sisters at Hall Street Baptist Church are in a time of prayer themselves, praying about their future as a congregation, about what they are to do. And on September 11th, next week, they're going to prayerfully make a decision that will affect a lot of people, and it will affect you all in this room today. And that decision will be whether or not to gift us their property, like the whole thing, to gift us their properties. And you know what? If they decide to continue on as a church, you know what? We're going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Did you hear me, church? We're going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving because they are moving forward to do God's work. Amen. If they make another decision, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. And through this whole season we're in right now, we're going to pray. And we need to pray that God would help us to be cooperative. For example, when we go, if God allows that, we need to do it in phases. We need to be respectful of the folks that are there. We need to probably start meeting in the gym first to make sure that those that come see us as a different church. Amen? Very, very important that you do that. Very, very important. You need to know that this is still Life Community Church going into another building. Amen? So it needs to look different. Amen? And buddy, I'm not budging on that, by the way. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen, because we have got to be prayerful and respectful and full of integrity in every way we conduct ourselves, even if they were to gift it in how we receive the property. Amen? That we are thankful and respectful and that we help them heal. Amen? That's why meeting in the gym is important. Well, how long will it take? Till God tells us. See, I've been through this, waiting on the Holy Spirit, and I can tell you something: when you wait on God's Spirit, it will always be the best thing. Anybody else learn that this summer? Don't want to admit it, but we did. Different prayers, different seasons. Where are you at right now? What do you need to pray for your family, for your children? All right, listen, don't just pray when you need something. Pray when God blesses you. Anybody woke up today and say, God, thank you for the ability to see, hear, and come to church today. Hey, man, if we don't start thanking God for stuff, he might start taking stuff away from us. Pray different prayers. Different. Don't treat God like a genie. Gimme, 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 gimme. Because he's not your genie in a magic lamp. He is your Lord and Savior who we bow our knees to and ask him, not our will be done, but Lord, can you let your will be done in us? He's not a genie, friends. He's our God, and we serve him. Learn to pray different prayers in different seasons. But now here's the reality. If you don't ever pray, your prayer life will be that deep. How do you learn how to pray different prayers and go deep in your prayers? You ready? Start praying. You start practicing prayer, which means you might have to wake up a little bit early to have a prayer time. It means you might have to go to get calmed down a little bit earlier in the night to have a prayer time. It might mean if you got a bunch of kids running all over the house and you got a 5-minute window where they're all asleep and one of them's using the bathroom and you're just there in the kitchen trying not to lose your mind, that you pray. Different prayers, different seasons. Second, pray with open eyes for other people. Pray with open eyes for other people. Paul would tell us, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Look at the second half of that verse. And stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for the saints. Paul tells us to be alert in our prayer life. So, probably not a good idea to roll out of bed when you're halfway tired and start praying. Can I tell you why? Because you're going to say, dear God, I love you. Let me give you permission to do something, can I? take a shower and drink a cup of coffee first. It's okay. All right? Just get awake, all right? But you need to be alert when you... Now, don't get me wrong. If you can pray through the night, praise the Lord. God bless you. I wish I had that kind of prayer life. I'm like a narcoleptic praying at night. I really am. I've got to get awake. See how y'all joke about my coffee? No, that's just me trying to have an active prayer life. Amen? But we see that we got to be alert. But second, he says that we are open eyes. Now, that alert means this, not just that we stay awake, but that with the enemy, he's trying to devour us. Remember the context of Satan trying to come against us, and that we are watching for the enemy. So we pray alert. We sense what the Spirit of God's leading us. And if we say, hey, I'm sensing an area where Satan is attacking, I'm alert to that. So I'm going to begin to pray that God reinforces that area. Does that make sense? Or we see a weakness in our marriage or a weakness in our children or something, and we are aware of that, alert to that, and we say, you know what? Instead of gossiping about that, we should probably what? Pray about that. And we take that need to God when we are alert and aware. Perseverance, what does that mean? It means that you keep on praying. Some of you all pray two times, and God has not yet answered that, and you say, well, God ain't listening. I'm just going to quit. Read the Gospels. Jesus is all about praying and waiting. And you'll say, well, Kenny, I don't like to wait. Tough. That's God's style. Because he likes to build this thing in us called patience. And you know what? We would never see the hand of God or recognize God's blessing if he didn't make us wait for it. Did you know that? You know why one of the great things that we celebrate a baby coming into the world is because we've spent 9 months imagining what that baby's going to be like. 9 months of caring and doing everything necessary to take care of that baby. And then, boom, it's here. Oh, it's here. And when we pray and we, no pun intended, labor through prayer, and it's delivered, we rejoice. Amen. But notice what he says, for the intercession of other people, that we are persevering, we're not stopping, but specifically praying for other people. Now, I find myself praying for myself a lot. Anybody else? Yeah. Because we're selfish. We don't pray for the needs of others. We don't pray for the needs of our community. We pray for healing, but we pray for healing for who? God, help my toe that's infected. While I completely forget about those dying in poverty of starvation in my community. Amen or oh me this morning. What about our missionaries? God, help me today to be safe. What does it mean to be safe in the United States? We have missionaries that have aliases in other countries because if their identities were compromised, they would be killed. Do you know that? Know that? We have people serving God in foreign lands that you wouldn't even dream about moving your family to, and they're raising children there right now. Raising children there. Do we pray for other people? Are we praying for missionaries that are out there? We are very free to take our needs to the Lord. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. We are free to take our needs to the Lord. But let's not forget to pray for other people too. Amen? Let's not forget. Third, we pray for the boldness needed to declare Jesus. The boldness needed to declare Jesus. This is the neatest part about this. Paul says, pray also for me, verse 19, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And you might think, well, who's he preaching to? I thought you said he was in jail. He is in jail. Look what he says. For this I am an ambassador in what? In chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should. Well, who is he speaking to? You ready? If you study how they kept people in prison, they chained the prisoner literally to the guard. Every 6 hours, according to one commentary I read, every 6 hours, there would be a changing of the guard. You know what Paul was praying? He was praying, Lord, I need help in telling these people that I'm literally chained to about Jesus. Why? Because Roman soldiers were barbarians. Paul was malnourished. History tells us he was kind of a dumpy looking dude to begin with. So he wasn't a big tough looking guy. And here he is, malnourished, weak in a jail cell. And what's he asking of the people at Ephesus to remember? Did he pray that God would free him? No. Did he pray that he'd get out of jail? No. He prayed that while he was in jail, that God would give him the boldness to be an ambassador for Jesus while he's in a chain. Starting a church in a jail cell. He didn't ask for freedom. He asked for boldness. Can you imagine you being chained to this barbarian, Brutus-looking dude, snarling? Hey, dude, can I tell you about Jesus? By the way, I'm going to be chained to you for the next 6 hours. I would like to think all those guys got saved. Amen. But we don't know that. Paul never says that. He says, pray for boldness. So you know what I would assume? That Paul often got nervous sharing with those soldiers. Well, there's no way Paul could get nervous. Sure he could. He's a human being. You know what? If you're chained to a guy that could probably take that chain, choke you with it, and beat you in the head with it, which probably happened with Paul every time he opened the gospel, and he opened his mouth for the gospel, and he did that, I think I'd need to be praying for some boldness too. What do you think? I'm sure he got beat black and blue when he told people about Jesus. And can you imagine some of them that were brutally mean and you knew that they had the next shift? And Paul said what? Pray that I'm bold. Some of you all are chained to things that are not as brutal as a Roman soldier. They're actually good stuff. You're chained to a good job. You're chained to a good family. You're chained to a good neighborhood. And how we need to pray that God will give us boldness to share the gospel, like Heath said, to our circles, to our networks, to our communities, the love of Jesus, that we share the gospel. And the gospel is simply that Jesus is God. He came to this earth. He lived a spotless, sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins, buried, rose again. And if we turn to Jesus, we can be saved. Repent of sin and be saved. Here Paul is praying that he can have enough clarity to speak with broken teeth to somebody about Jesus. And we're nervous to tell our neighbors about Jesus. I think about the signs of life and that we are to be a people of prayer. I thought about, like last week, getting my shoes up here, maybe getting like a bunch of jeans with holes in them. And I have some that I could have brought and hung up, but I started thinking about that. And I thought, man, I can't do that today. Because the holes in my pants that I have at the house is from working out in the yard, just wearing them. And I got some holy jeans, but they're just not holy jeans. And I thought I could bring those for some sort of illustration today, and I almost did. But I thought, you know, I'm pretty sure my prayer life needs to be better. How dare I say that my jeans are already wore out because I've been spending so much time on my knees, when the truth is I probably haven't. Anybody else relate to me this morning? You know, I think you see a soldier, and he's got that pack on, those fatigues on, that gear on. She's got her combat gear on. But the sign of a Christian are those worn-out jeans that they've been praying. They're people of prayer. I believe God is going to do a tremendous work in this church. But no tremendous work will ever happen that's not preceded by prayer. The greatest work ever was when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And what was he doing the night when they came to arrest him? He was praying to his Father, sweating drops of blood. Today, I think about all that God is doing in my life over the past summer, and I think about how the devil tried to oppose that, and I think about how God has miraculously worked all that for his glory, all that for his good, all that for his kingdom. And I'm saying now that if there's ever a time to pray, it's now. On the eve of transition, maybe. I don't know, maybe not. If there's ever a time for us to pray with a cooperative spirit, that God would help us just to work together as a team, amen, it's now. For us to get over our differences and petty thoughts and work together and pray together and to be committed to prayer. So with that, I ask simply three questions. First, if you don't have a relationship to Jesus, will you give your heart to Jesus by praying a prayer of invitation, allowing Jesus into your heart? A prayer that says, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I need Jesus. I'm turning from my sin, believing that Christ died, buried, and rose again. Would you come into my heart? That's the first question that I ask. Second is this. Will you commit to a daily prayer time? A daily prayer time. And third, I'm talking just to Life Community people. So if you are not a member of Life Community Church, I give you official permission to check out right now. All right? If you are a member of Life Community Church, I am asking you from the bottom of my heart to make a commitment today that you will commit faithfully and devoutly to the first Monday night prayer service. Every month, we see God move in that service. Ask some people that went last time. Amen, Jennifer, Greg. We see the power of God in that service unlike anything else in this church. I'm asking the membership of this church to make a commitment to the prayer service. Faithfully to the prayer service. I don't know how you need to respond today, but I invite you today to be a man or woman of prayer, because that is a sign of life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? There are some today that need to make commitments to invite Jesus into their heart. Like Heath said, you may need to come forward here in just a moment and say, Kenny, I need Jesus in my heart. Our deacons are on the side. Maybe you want to talk to them. Maybe today you have really slacked in your prayer life, and it's time to make a recommitment to personal prayer, a daily quiet time every day, turning to God. Maybe for us as a church, it's time to make that commitment of being in the service, the prayer service, once a month, making a commitment to do that. Father, we love you. We just want to ask you, Jesus, to help us be committed to prayer. And Father, to listen to the sweet, sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. That we would not be afraid of prayer or shy of prayer or nervous about prayer. But God, to talk to you all because Jesus Christ lives in our heart and creates an open line for us. So, Father, help us to be people that are alive and people that pray. In your name, amen. Stand to your feet. Let's sing. Maybe you need to come and pray today. I want to challenge you to make commitments today to give your life to Jesus, to a personal prayer time, to our prayer service.